everything as a dog whistle. We're in real trouble.
Well, I'm the one that brought back football.
He's been totally irresponsible. All he ever wants to do is divide people.
I'm the one that brought back football.
Show up and vote. Vote, vote, vote. He's just afraid of counting the vote. Show up and vote. Vote, vote, vote. You should go out and vote. He's going to go. We have a higher deficit with China now than we did before. He sits on his golf course, and all these dog whistles on racism don't work anymore. Chaos and violence help his cause.
Fraud.
All the lies he's told you.
Fake news.
All the lies he's told you.
You're number two.
All the lies he's told
you. Go into the polls and watch very carefully.
Because that's what has to happen.
I am urging them to do it.
And watch very carefully.
There was a big problem.
Because that's what has to happen.
I am
urging them to do it.
As you know, today there was a big problem.
In Philadelphia, they went in to watch.
They weren't allowed to watch.
You know why?
Because bad things happen in Philadelphia.
They were thrown out.
They weren't allowed to watch.
You know why?
Because bad things happen in Philadelphia.
Bad things.
I am urging my people, I hope it's going to be a fair election.
You're sending out 80 million ballots.
They're not equipped.
They cheat.
These people aren't equipped to handle it.
Ballots in a waste paper.
Number two,
they cheat. 3 days ago,
they cheat.
And they all had the name
military ballots.
In a waste paper
they all had the name Trump on them.
3 days ago,
Vice President Biden, will you pledge not to declare victory until the election is independently certified?
Yes, and here's the deal. We count the ballots, as you pointed out. Some of these ballots in some states can't even be opened until Election Day. And if there's thousands of ballots, it's going to take time to do it. And by the way, our military, they've been voting by ballot since the end of the Civil War. And that's what's going to happen. Why was it not? Why is it for them somehow not fraudulent? It's the same process.
It's honest.
No one has established at all that there is fraud related to mail-in ballots. That somehow it's a fraudulent process.
It's already been established. Take a look at Carolyn Maloney's race.
You had an opportunity
look
to
at
respond.
Carolyn
go ahead.
They have no idea
Vice
what happened.
Vice President Biden, go ahead.
You know why?
He has no idea what he's talking
because
about.
Here's the
once
deal.
Once the winner is declared,
I will accept it, and he will too. You know why?
Because
that'll be the end of it.
Winner is
that'll
declared
be the end
after
of it.
All the
ballots
counted.
And if it's me, in fact, fine. If it's not me,
that'll be the end of it.
I'll support the outcome. And I'll be a president not just for you. Democrats. I'll be a president for Democrats and Republicans. And I'll be a president not just for the
ballot count. Gentlemen, will you say that's the end of it? This is the end of this debate.
Ballot count.
Gentlemen, will you say that's the end of it? This is the end of this debate.
Ballot count.
We're going to leave it there to be continued as in more debates as we go on. President Trump, Vice President Biden, it's been an interesting hour and a half. I want to thank you both for participating in the first of three debates that you have agreed to engage in. We want to thank Kate.
There's no way that we should. There's no way that we should have to sit through two more of these debates. I can't imagine it. I can't imagine that we as an American population need to hear more from grandpas. Dueling grandpas is very difficult on my brains.
I come to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, an empty vessel. A man with a mind wiped clean. I have stood in the swirling chaos of creation. I have seen Shiva dancing the destruction, wielding his trident, carving great gouts out of the universe. The sky at once both red and blue and black until all that remained was a starless void and the hollow husk once known as Chris Wallace. We have emerged from the mad whirlwind where we gazed upon the forbidden countenance of God himself, and he said unto us, Jesus, stop interrupting him, you giant baby! Yes, tonight saw the best minds of our generation destroyed by madness, starving, hysterical, naked, dragging themselves through the streets at dawn looking for the mute button.
That was a show.
Okay. That is, first of all, an insult to both shows And the other word that I can't say, and it's not exactly accurate, because at least after a 90-minute poop, you generally feel better.
Mr. Sure. President, can you let him finish, sir?
No, he doesn't know how to do that. He has,
You'd be surprised.
Will you shut up, man? Listen, who? And by the way, maybe you could inject some bleach in your arm, and that would take care of it. This is the
same
man.
That was said sarcastically, and you know that.
It was sarcasm, just like my oath to uphold the Constitution and my marriage vows.
A lot of people died, and a lot more are going to die unless he gets a lot smarter, a lot quicker.
So, Mr. President?
Did you use the word smart? Don't ever use the word smart with me. Don't ever use that word.
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb. I'm smart, and I want respect.
I'm the one that brought back football.
And the President of the United States was asked simply to condemn white supremacy.
Are you willing tonight to condemn white supremacists and militia groups?
Sure. I'm willing to do anything. I want to see peace.
Then do it, sir.
Say it.
Do you want to call them? What do you want to call them? Give me a name.
White supremacists and
white
supremacists.
Proud
supremacists and right
proud boys. Stand back and stand by.
I don't support white supremacists. I just command them like a dog. That's why I've got this shiny dog whistle. Proud boys. Proud boys, stand back. Sit. Who's a proud boy? You're a proud boy.
You're the worst president America has ever had. He's Putin's puppy. He still refuses to even say anything to Putin about the bounty on the heads of American soldiers.
Okay, that's not true. I'm not his puppy. I'm his BFF. And I'm Kim Jong-un's squash partner. And I'm Recep Tayyip Erdogan's emergency soul cycle contact. After one particularly long Trump spittle-filled blather, Chris Wallace tried to get things back on track.
Mr. Vice President answered his final question.
The final question is, I can't remember which of all his ranties.
I'm having a little trouble myself.
It's funny, because we are facing the most important election of our lifetimes, and we're letting the idiot who shouts the loudest decide what we talk about. Now, Trump ended up ginning up fears about the next election.
This is going to be a fraud like you've never seen.
Oh, I don't know. I'm looking at a pretty big one right now. And was Chris Wallace asked Trump if he would call on his voters to stay calm? Instead, Trump made a frightening call to his followers.
I'm urging my supporters to go into the polls and watch very carefully.
Maybe go hang out there wearing your favorite brown shirt and just, you know, assess the situation. And after an hour and a half of soul-pulverizing menace, I feel like I did coming out of Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace. How can we possibly do this two more times? And ultimately, I think the American people, they were hurt tonight. And if you look online, they're angry. Because this is a serious moment where human lives and the future of this irreplaceable country is on the line. And I know that Chris Wallace says he's not a fact checker. But after 1.5 hours of chaos and lies, I can say there's one statement tonight that was absolutely true.
This is not going to end well. This is not going to end well.
I have a bad feeling about this.
I've got a bad feeling about them.
I've got a bad feeling about
them. Quiet.
What?
I got a bad feeling about this.
I don't know. I have a bad feeling about this.
I have a bad feeling about this.
I have a really bad feeling about this. I got a bad feeling about this.
Thanks for the song this week from
Eclectic Method and Golden Earring.
And thanks to
Rod Serling, Rudy Giuliani, Cartman, Richard Nixon, Seth Myers, Stephen Colbert, Henry Hill, J.L. Corvin,
Chris
Wallace, Dan Seward, Dana Bash, Fredo Corleone,
LB,
Juan Kenobi, Darth Vader, Han
Solo,
Princess Leia at C-3PO.
preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
This is going to go away without a vaccine. It's going to go away.
I think that at some point that's going to sort of just disappear, I hope.
We're rounding the turn on the pandemic.
I just wear masks when needed. When needed, I wear masks.
Okay, let me ask.
I don't wear masks like him. Every time you see him, he's got a mask.
Some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Echo Rowe, and I'm here with Thatcher Keats, and we're going to talk about why WGXC is important to us and our shows and everything. So, hi.
Hi, Echo. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I am fine. I am good. I am great. I am honored to be on your new show. Congratulations.
Yes, I haven't started yet, but I'm going to probably on October 16th.
October 16th is going to be the first show. Okay, I get it. Well, that's good. I'm telling you, if there was ever a kid who was well-prepped to do a radio show, I would imagine it is you.
Thank you.
Does it seem comfortable for you to be on the air?
Yeah, because I haven't been on in a while, but I have a lot in the past, so.
Right, and you've got all kinds of experience. So let me ask you, Echo, have you heard any recent news by any chance?
No, not really. What are you talking about? So do you want to tell the listeners about your show?
Sure. I am I'm one of the original WGXC programmers. I did my first show even before we were broadcasting, when it was just still online. How I ended up doing the show, I think, was talking to your dad at the International Supper at the church, 10 or 12 years ago. And I do a show on WGXC, which has a lot of field recordings. I make a lot of recordings of people sharing stuff, telling stories, giving me lists, reading little excerpts from books. I play music, and I do a lot of monologues, I guess you would say, for lack of a better term. And I feel that I'm one of the older members of the WGXC community, which is a tremendous source of pride for me, and feels like artistic accomplishment too, because I believe very deeply in radio. Do you know that film used to happen in cameras? Before it happened on our phones, it used to happen in cameras, and it happened on film instead of digitally. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I used to work in photo darkrooms, and so I would be 40 or 50 hours a week in the darkroom, and I needed stuff to listen to. And that's where I sort of first came to deeply love and deeply understand what radio could do for me as an individual and for the community. I remember listening in the darkroom when I was a teenager to WBAI in New York City, and they would be saying, "We are the only ones who will say that Reagan is bad, that we don't like Reagan, that Reagan has to go." We used to have a president named Ronald Reagan. And I realized that radio could be made up of me and you and your mom and your dad and the other people on the station and the other people under the age of 18 who do radio, and all of us, you know, kooky adults who are doing stuff, and we get to make this lovely fabric. And I think that that deserves as much support as possible. And I know that a lot of people don't have a lot of money these days in the pandemic, but a couple of people have money. And those couple of people who have money, anyone who might have had stock in Apple, for example, this past 6 months, you know, they could just help us out.
Yeah, because WGXC, gives us so many opportunities, and it's such like an amazing platform for so many individuals, and it's so important to continue or give support to any like platform that's local, and that's why WGXC needs your help.
I agree, and I implore anyone out there who has the means to help us out. And we're not even asking for $20,000, we're asking for $10 a month. You know, how quickly can do you burn through $10 buying lattes, you know, which I guess is the old argument. A thing that you just mentioned, you were talking about all the people who get to contribute to community radio through WGXC, but does the audience understand how broad and diverse the community is at WGXC, in age, in race, in ethnic background, in religion, in politics, in everything. You know, I think it's one of the most worthwhile things that we could do here in Columbia County and Greene County.
Yes, I totally agree. My show, which is going to be starting October 16th, I'm pretty sure it's going to be called Radio Rebel. And its main premise and whole reasoning behind it is I want to provide a platform for teens. I'm going to have friends over, and like we're going to have discussions about subjects we're interested in. We're going to talk about events in the community and anything that like provokes interest to people around my age. So that's the main reasoning behind my show.
That's brilliant. I can't wait for that, Echo. So you mean anything that interests you, so whether it's cultural or political or local or anything else?
Yes.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, more power to you, Echo.
Yes. And so we just want to encourage people to give their support to WXC and either call 518-697-7400 or become a sustaining supporter or donate at wxc.org/donate. And we're already at 2/3 of our goal of sustaining supporters.
Oh, that is great. That is really good news. Would you give the number again?
Yes, 518-697-7400.
All right, great. I am going to do all that stuff on my show. I'm doing a show on Sunday night at 6 o'clock. I do the first Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. And isn't the place to go, is it wgxc.org/donate?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's hope. And can we promise our listeners that if they support us and we can keep going, they will hear the most magical and kooky and informative and fun things they've ever heard blasting out of their car radio coming out of WGXC speakers?
Yes, that is WGXC.
That is WGXC in a nutshell. All right. It's really an honor to get to talk to you. I can't wait for your show. I mean, crikey, I've been taking pictures of you since you were, what, probably, you know, 5 or 8 years old, right?
Yes.
Something like that. So it's been a privilege getting to watch you grow and to grow in the greater WGXC community. So keep on rocking. I can't wait for the show. Say the name of the show again.
Radio Rebel.
That's good. Falls off the tongue rather nicely.
Yes. All right. Bye-bye. All right.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Columbia Greene Community College, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Mishuda, and I'm 18 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Patia, and I'm 6 years old, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Nico. I'm 10 years old, and I'm from Philmont.
I'm Lena. I am 10 years old, and I am also from Hudson.
We're really excited to talk about books, but we also want to talk about our love for WGXC, who has had Bound by Books on the radio since the radio station first launched and has made a space for youth voices and for all of us to talk about books every week. And we're very grateful for that. And WGXC is kicking off the next pledge drive right now. We're looking to gain some new sustaining donors during this pledge drive. And we're hoping that anyone out there listening who loves youth radio and community radio, hands-on radio, commercial-free radio, might want to support WGXC and help keep shows like Bound by Books on the air. And sustaining donors give a set amount each month. You can set it up to be automatically deducted from your account, which makes it very easy to remember to give each month because you don't have to remember it at all. And it can be any amount. You could give $5 a month, $10, $15, $20, and so on. So please do join us in becoming sustaining donors. Or if you just want to make a one-time donation, we like those too. Every little bit counts. So to make a tax-deductible contribution, you can go online to wgxc.org/donate, or you can give a call at 518-697-7400 and make your pledge.
Here at WGXE, who's operating on a much smaller budget than even the other public radio stations. So if anybody out there wants more bang for your buck to help out your local community, please consider donating to WGXE. It is tax deductible and really helps out your community. Again, if you're interested in doing that, the phone number is 518-697-7400, or to the more, standard people, 518-697-7400, and we will be happy to take any donation you would have for us.
It's called phone number rhythm.
Phone number rhythm.
Phone number rhythm. Gotta have it.
Nah, I could just say it any way I want. It's all the numbers.
Well, to the nerdiest of us, 7400 is a series of TTL gates that are the basis of the earliest computers. So, yeah, I don't have any trouble memorizing that number. It means a lot to me.
All right, now I think we have on the line the Wavefarm radio artist fellow Jess Spear, who is downstairs from me in the building here at Wavefarm. Is that you, Jess?
Yes, hello from downstairs.
How are things downstairs today in the library?
They're pretty great. I'm surrounded by really wonderful books and music, so I'm very happy to be here.
Can you tell people what a Wavefarm Radio Artist Fellow is, or what it is that you're doing here, and what you're going to do too with some of the programmers on WGXC?
Sure. So a big part of my job is researching radio art pieces and artists who make them, and then adding those pieces to the Wavefarm Radio Art Archive, which is what I'm most immersed in right now down here in the study center. And then in addition to that, I'll be doing a creative art piece, a radio art piece, which I'm hoping your listeners will participate in, calling in messages for the moon. I'll tease it.
Start thinking about your moon stories now, or messages for the moon now.
Start thinking about your messages for the moon, your happy thoughts and wishes, and gonna try and make a piece that's really positive and helps us all focus on things we can be grateful for, even in this weird time we're living in.
All right, so everybody keep that in the back of your mind, but I interrupted, you were still explaining other things.
Oh, sure. I'm also going to be doing a workshop with some of the youth programmers here, and working with them to kind of, I don't know, we'll see what we create. I want to offer them some weird things to listen to and give them some ideas and directions and sort of facilitate them making a radio program of their choosing. So I'm excited to see how that turns out.
And I think that's the Clubhouse Radio folks over on Main Street in Catskill. Do you find that young people are still interested in radio these days?
Some of them are. I think for young people, having some sort of ability to have your voice be heard, I think this is why things like YouTube channels are so popular with young people. Like, having that ability to communicate with other people, which radio is obviously a great medium for that, and it's gotten to be so corporatized and so specialized that it's hard for people to do that. So I think it's really special that you have programs like Clubhouse where kids can express themselves on the public airwaves. That's really powerful.
And I guess if they're interested in YouTube channels, they may be more interested in radio than they even know that they are, since that's delivered through radio waves.
Exactly. Radio's in so many places we don't even think about.
So, what was there?
Hi, this is Chris France of Talking Heads, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC, Accra.
On the next Deep Threes, we'll hear a piece from Danish trumpeter Polly Mickelborg's tribute to Miles Davis that was inspired by the colors of the legend's aura, plus exotic sounds from Makanuchi Bento, Yan Lin Chen, and Tatiana Koleva. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Becca Van Kay of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
WGXC helps you sleep at night and stay awake in the daytime. Whether at work or play, in good times and in bad, no matter the weather, community radio brings you local news, agricultural information, music and sounds, oratory, and radio stews.
90.7 FM, WGXC.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Diane Walden is reporting for the Columbia paper. At its September 10th meeting, the Copeg Town Board took up the matter of needed speed reductions in several spots around town. Back in July, the board received a letter from Stephen Sanborn, a resident who pointed to the increased number of part-time residents who have now become full-time residents and the ramping up of commercial activity as the state gradually reopens. He said those factors are responsible for the overall surge in the amount of traffic in the vicinity of County Route 7 and 7A in West Copeck. His concern was not just about the dangers that come with speeding, but also the noise. In an email to the town board, resident Susan Oshorn echoed Sanborn's observations about the noise level and traffic safety, adding, and I quote, "The steady stream of cars and trucks," end quote, "are," and I quote, "a constant presence as motorists violate the speed limit of 35 miles an hour with impunity," end quote. Supervisor Jeanne Mettler discussed the problem with resident deputy Joseph Kilmer, who suggested that the 35-mile-an-hour speed zone through West Copeck be extended further south to Camp Pontiac. Board member Stas Ganowski agreed that extending the speed zone may help, but not lowering the limit even more, noting, and I quote, "35 is really slow. 30 is really, really slow," end quote. Mettler said a resolution extending the speed zone would be prepared in time for the October 8th meeting. And you can read the full story in the Columbia paper. Nick Reisman is reporting for State of Politics. State Senate Republicans October 1st put forward a group of bills that include voter identification proposals, the repeal of public financing of political campaigns, and an expedited process for striking deceased voters from the rolls. The measures are unlikely to become law, but they are being offered against a backdrop of baseless claims by President Donald Trump that the upcoming election is threatened by widespread fraud. Senate Minority Leader Robert Ort said, and I quote, "Voting is an important right and one that we must secure and protect against any potential fraud. Every citizen's vote should count, and we have a duty to ensure the integrity of this process," end quote. The bills backed by Republicans in the state Senate would require photo identification for voters, while another measure is designed to prevent undocumented immigrants from voting. The GOP also wants to reverse the coming system of publicly funded campaigns by rerouting that money to help with expenses for personal protective equipment, poll worker wages, prepaid postage for absentee ballots, and other measures to smooth absentee voting. Read the full story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com. Natasha Vaughn is reporting for Columbia Green Media. A number of political campaign signs have been damaged or stolen in recent weeks at locations in Columbia County. In Gallatin, Greg Galina, the vice chairman of the town Democratic Committee, said he put up 20 campaign signs along Route 11 and Route 7, and approximately a dozen were taken. State Police Public Information Officer Stephen Nebel said, and I quote, "Political campaign signs stolen from or damaged on a person's property is something that is talked about each year, but it is a crime, which could result in legal charges if the person committing the crime was caught," end quote. Jan Hopkins reported to the Columbia County Sheriff's Office that she had seen a truck running over political signs. Lieutenant Lewis Bray of the Columbia County Sheriff's Office said, and I quote, "We do see it typically in an election year, signs being either stolen or otherwise vandalized. Each year we always have some complaints about people's signs," end quote. Bray noted that the total number of incidents involving campaign signs is difficult to calculate because of the way the county records larceny incidents. In Caryville, Susan Berquist Strong had her Black Lives Matter sign and her neighbor's Biden-Harris sign vandalized this week. In Greene County, Sheriff Peter Kaminsky said the county has not had any reports of campaign signs damaged or stolen this year, but the state police said it is investigating a case in Leeds where a sign was reportedly removed from a lawn. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes? Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
There's no debating it. Trump encourages violent white supremacists. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan in our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast.
Proud Boys, stand back and stand by.
Stand back and stand by. Yes, those are the words of President Donald Trump that he declared at his first presidential debate with Joe Biden. Trump had just been asked by Fox News moderator Chris Wallace to denounce white supremacists. With his answer, Trump issued a clarion call to the Proud Boys, a growing right-wing extremist group of Trump loyalists formed in 2016, openly promoting political violence. One clear takeaway from the debate: Trump is desperate to sow division in the country and distrust of the electoral system, and is eagerly recruiting violent vigilantes to help. Prominent Proud Boy Joe Biggs wrote on social media, "Trump basically said to go F them up. This makes me so happy," he said.
It's very crystal clear to me what
President Trump was calling for last night. And it's, I think, crystal clear to the Proud Boys what he was asking for. And that was for continued pressure, continued violence against what he is calling the threat of the left.
That's Christian Piccolini speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour. He's a former skinhead neo-Nazi. He co-founded Free Radicals Project to prevent global extremism.
There is no threat from the left, because if we look historically, you know, just over the last 25 years and the number that you've quoted, far-right extremists, everything from neo-Nazis to white supremacists to white nationalists, are responsible for nearly 100% of the violence, 100% of the death, and 100% of the fear and rhetoric and propaganda that is inducing this type of violence.
Two recent reports from the Center for Strategic and International Studies indicate that between 1994 and 2020, right-wing extremists killed 335 people in the United States, mostly people of color. Trump claimed during the debate,
"Almost everything I see is from the left wing, not from the right. Somebody's got to do something about Antifa and the left."
Antifa, short for anti-fascist, is a movement with its roots in 20th century European anti-fascist struggles. This isn't Trump's first embrace of violent right-wing extremists. He suggested the white teenage vigilante who shot dead two Black Lives Matter protesters in Kenosha, Wisconsin, was acting in self-defense. He defended the Unite the Right rally, neo-Nazis, Ku Klux Klan members, and Proud Boys who massed in Charlottesville, Virginia in August 2017, calling them
very fine people.
This was just 3 days after neo-Nazi James Fields Jr. drove his car into a crowd of anti-racist counter-protesters, killing Heather Heyer and injuring 19 others. This week, The Nation reported on a leaked internal memo from the FBI's Dallas field office that predicts increased potential for violence from the anti-government Boogaloo Movement members with a, quote, propensity toward violence and acquiring weapons that cause mass casualties used by a small number of attackers, unquote. Last May, Federal Protective Services officer David Patrick Underwood was shot and killed during anti-racism protests in Oakland, California. The primary suspect in the killing? Stephen Carrillo, an active-duty Air Force sergeant and Boogaloo member. Vice President Pence invoked Underwood's memory at his address to the Republican National Convention, blaming the protests. He neglected to mention that it was a right-wing extremist who killed Underwood. Just 2 weeks ago, at a rally in Bemidji, Minnesota, Trump blew his racist dog whistle again, telling the nearly all-white crowd,
"You have good genes, you know that, right? You have good genes. A lot of it's about the genes, isn't it? Don't you believe? The racehorse theory, you think we're so different? You have good genes in Minnesota."
Jewish Community Action's Karen Mraz likened Trump's remarks to the race science used by Nazis to justify the extermination of so many of our ancestors, unquote. President Trump doesn't hide that he's an aspiring autocrat, boasting he'll be president for 12 more years.
12 more years.
Trump has urged followers to poll watch at polling places on Election Day in predominantly Democratic precincts, which would clearly intimidate and discourage voters. He's threatened to deploy armed police, sheriff's deputies, and even the military to what he calls guard polling places. His son, Donald Trump Jr., tweeted a video calling for, quote, every able-bodied man and woman to join the army for Trump's election security operation. We need you to help us watch them, Donald Trump Jr. said. And in the midst of the deadly COVID-19 pandemic, which has disproportionately devastated communities of color, Trump has been waging an unprecedented campaign to discredit the popular and now life-saving practice of voting by mail. More Democrats than ever are predicted to vote by mail, while Republicans who believe Trump minimizing the pandemic and mocking the use of masks and social distancing are expected to prefer voting in person. Trump himself and members of his family vote by mail. 100 years ago, Benito Mussolini in Italy recruited young men to join his squadrismo, a volunteer force known as the Black Shirts that terrorized and killed his opponents. Hitler formed the Brown Shirts, who brutally beat and murdered his foes. Neither dictator could have seized power without these armies of loyal paramilitary thugs. When Donald Trump urges groups like the Proud Boys to stand back and stand by, we need to take him seriously. We need to draw the line. Not here, not now, not ever. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
Your forecast for the weekend, well, on Saturday, patchy fog before 10 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 61 degrees. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low of around 38 degrees. And on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 62 degrees. And Sunday night, scattered showers mainly after 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low of around 47. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Welcome.
Maria, have a seat.
Please, have
Take
a seat.
Here.
Thank you.
So we got some questions for you.
Okay. Well, first, let's introduce Maria and her show. That's the first way to go.
Yes. Okay. Yes,
okay.
Cece.
Okay, so Maria, I asked that you come and stop by on the show because I love your show and I wanted to plug it on our show.
Yeah, it was her idea, totally. Thank Not you. That I don't like the show, but it was her idea.
I love it.
I was shocked. I was shocked.
To shock this man is hard.
Well, Cece has a great deal of sophistication and musical knowledge.
Yes,
so
she does.
I totally expect this of her.
Yeah, and I expect to hear it sometimes. Well, we're going to do a lot of music.
What's your show, Maria? Go ahead and plug it.
It's called The Hudson Cafe.
The Hudson
and
Cafe.
It's on the second and fourth Wednesdays of the month at 11 o'clock.
Cool.
And I play a lot of old jazz. And,
good jazz.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, we all kind of know Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong.
Coltrane, and Miles.
All the greats. But I always like to throw in some obscure things.
Yeah.
Facts.
Last week I was doing hula music from Hawaii.
Wow.
Hula music.
Yeah, just to shake it up a little. But, you know, I like to throw in a lot of odd things. We got the school bus. And occasionally have guests, although right now it's kind of hard to do that.
Yeah.
But, but it's a lot of fun. And I always...
Iffy Cobbins, welcome by. Hi, Iffy. Live radio. Sorry, Maria, didn't mean to interrupt
That's
you.
Okay.
You've been doing it the whole time.
I know. It's just, it's so much.
Do a shot and wave.
We've been doing our shows indoor, you know, Zoom indoors.
Mm-hmm.
So to actually talk to live people is so exciting. I get a little excited.
Yeah, it's not really what it is. It's that he's cooped up in the house and he's just not getting out.
That's what it is. It's personal issues.
Yeah. Really. Oh, yeah. They're always personal issues.
You deal with the public console.
Every day,
yeah. And I have to say, Cece, I love Roland Gerser and I always love seeing you there.
Same, I would say the same.
You always have this upbeat spirit that is wonderful to encounter.
Thank you.
Isn't that beautiful?
It's true.
So, Maria, we know that you have a show.
Yeah.
Now we can hear it better, yeah.
Right. And we wanted to know, we had some questions. So the first question we wanted to ask is, what is your favorite program? And obviously your program is your favorite, but outside of your program, what is your favorite WJC program right now that's on the air or even since it's been on the air?
Oh, man. You know, I really love... Cheryl Kay's show.
Oh, Cheryl Kay.
Yeah.
Cheryl Kay.
Yes.
Jared, poor of devil. Woo!
She has a real easy style.
I know, right?
And it just sounds effortless. You know?
Yeah, I know. Well, she's been doing a long time, too, yeah.
I love that quality that it's like, you know, just off the top of her head. Yeah, I'm sure she puts a lot of work into it.
Sure,
oh, yeah.
Sure.
But she's got that whole, hey, now we're going to listen to a little Miles.
I wish you were like that, you know?
That's very exciting.
But I also like Michael Wilde's show, mostly.
Oh, Stones, yeah, that's good, too.
Because it's always... unexpected. Mm-hmm. He's always doing something.
It's like ours. We're the Seinfeld of radio.
It's
a show about nothing, really.
I like that.
What?
Yeah.
You debate that?
Yeah, I think we're quite substantial. I think we have a lot to talk
Seinfeld
about.
Seinfeld was substantial. What are you talking about?
No, nothing is very deep.
No,
nothing is very deep. Especially not in this show.
Yeah, that's right. That's the whole point. It's to bring you to the lighter side of things.
The lighter side.
Well, we need it.
Side.
We definitely need it.
So, I love that helmet. Where'd you get
that? Isn't that cool? It's called the Thousand.
It's really cool.
It's really cool.
I needed a bike helmet. I ride all the time.
Good for you. He should ride.
And I actually didn't used to wear a helmet.
What?
And I took a spill.
Oh, no.
On Warren Street. Uh-oh. Was that pretty?
No.
And my friend Margaret Zelinsky, who is a bike rider, mm-hmm. said, you know, you only have one head.
That's right.
So I looked online for...
Oh, joy.
In my case, you know.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, hello there.
Bike helmets that, you know, were...
Didn't were like bulky or clunky.
And were attractive, shall we say.
That's
and
really
this is
cool.
the one I came up with.
It's really cool. good looking. So I wouldn't expect anything less of you. You're a very, very trendy person.
Trendy?
Even her mind is trendy.
I just don't think that way. Wow, really? I'm
that's
flattered.
That's why you're genuine.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
That's okay, can we stop this love feast for a
second? So, Maria, and then her hair, her name is amazing, too. You know,
I know.
It's better than Tommy D.
Ouch, ouch.
Maria, what is the first time you remember? When did you fall in love with radio, actually?
You know, I have to tell you, I've been a radio fan since I was a teenager, and I fell in love with radio maybe when I was 12 or 13.
I can feel that.
I grew up in Brooklyn.
Yep, me too.
Brooklyn!
Yay, woo! Brooklyn, Bensonhurst. What neighborhood?
Flatbush, baby.
Okay. We're sisters from another borough.
That's right.
But yeah, you know, when I was a kid, that was when... alternative rock was beginning, and
yeah, these kids don't get it.
It was when Bob Dylan first started
alternative radio
on FM radio, and Joan Baez, and I was really into this. Was all brand new at the time,
mm-hmm.
and that was the only place you could hear their music was when FM first began.
Sure.
And then I got into Gene Shepherd, who was...
Yeah, Gene Shepherd.
Gene Shepherd was a guy who had a 45-minute
That's
show
the voice you hear on A Christmas Story.
Yeah, A Christmas Story, the movie, was his story.
Oh, it was his voice?
That's his voice, too.
And that's
great. He's got a great voice.
But he did a nightly radio show that he just improvised every night. And he was a
great storyteller. Yeah.
And I used to listen to him every night. And I think that really got me to... appreciate radio, because you could listen to a story and your head just goes somewhere mm-hmm. else. Mm-hmm. It has that magical quality. It's like live theater where it really can sweep you away.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's
like that War of the Worlds thing.
Yeah. People really believed it.
Yeah. It was so sad. Yeah.
Rebecca still does.
So
when did you start listening to radio?
I would say I was about the same. I think I was about maybe 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother, who was Jamaican, we're Jamaican, and, you know, Gregory Isaac and, you know, Garnet Silk and Bob with the songs that played in my house, which I love Jamaican music. I love reggae.
Yeah.
But I also knew that I was a part of me was American because we were here now.
Right.
And I didn't know how to navigate my friends who were American mm-hmm. outside of the talking about the things that they were talking about, you know, because what we were talking about was like immigration and this and that happening in the country, you know. But what they were talking about was what's happening right now with music, with artists, with rap. Rap was on the scene at that time. So the only way I could get that kind of music was by listening to the radio. And mm-hmm. Hot 97 was my ticket to that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I started to love radio. And then what I used to do, which was even crazier, and anybody who's a 90s kid pretty much would know this. There was a time when people used to record. I would take a cassette tape, turn the radio on, and record the music.
Yeah.
I would wait, and then, you know, they would sometimes talk into the song. I used to hate that. Like, just let it play, man. You know, so I could record it, and I would create a playlist.
Yeah.
And then I would bring it to school.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time in school you could actually play a song, or you could play your. You have radio. We had radio in school. So I would always like wait for my turn, and I would just play, and I would play like, you know, my songs were like, you know, what was trending, what was like number one. I was a DJ. I was a young DJ, and I loved it, you know.
Yeah.
So for me, that was my first love in radio, and I think I've never given it up, and I'm glad to be a part of WJXC. I was honored to ask to come chair Tom's show with him. And, you know, I mean, it's an experience for sure.
Yeah.
And I got to open up about other shows, like your show. Mm-hmm. You know, even just listening to Phil Grant on the radio for me is joy.
Oh, my God.
I look forward to hearing his voice.
I was just listening to him.
The voice of GXC, folks.
I just have to stop. It's like he has such presence.
If you're wondering who that voice is when you hear the news, that's Phil Grant.
Yeah. On the radio.
Did you just try to mimic?
Oh!
No, I did not try to mimic him.
We got Peter McPartland.
Speak clearly.
Hello, this is Rob Gellis with This Month in History, a chronicle of significant or infamous events in art, science, music, literature, sports, and war that occurred this month either in the near or distant past. On October 3rd, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln issued a proclamation designating the last Thursday in November as Thanksgiving Day. On October 6, 1927, the first talkie movie opened in New York City. The Jazz Singer, starring Al Jolson, was the first full-length feature film using a spoken dialogue. On October 9, 1962, Uganda achieved its independence after nearly 70 years of British rule. On October 11, 1884, Eleanor Roosevelt was born in New York City. On October 12, 1492, after a 33-day voyage, Christopher Columbus made his first landfall in the New World in the Bahamas. He named the first land sighted as El Salvador. On October 14, 1947, U.S. Air Force pilot Chuck Yeager became the first man to break the sound barrier, flying in a rocket-powered research aircraft. On October 16, 1859, the fanatical abolitionist John Brown seized the federal arsenal at Harper's Ferry with about 20 followers. 3 days later, Brown was captured and the insurrection was put down by the U.S. Marines, led by Robert E. Lee. On October 19th, 1781, as their band played The World Turned Upside Down, the British Army marched out in formation and surrendered to the Americans at Yorktown. The war between Britain and its American colonies was effectively ended. On October 21st, 1879, Thomas Edison successfully tested an electric incandescent lamp with a carbonized filament at his laboratory in Menlo Park, New Jersey. On October 23, 1942, British General Bernard Montgomery launched a major offensive against German forces under Erwin Rommel at El Alamein, Egypt. On October 24, 1861, the first transcontinental telegraph in America was sent from San Francisco to Washington. It was addressed to Abraham Lincoln from the Chief Justice of California. On October 26, 1881, the famous shootout at the OK Corral in Tombstone, Arizona, occurred between the Clanton and the Earp families. Wyatt Earp, two of his brothers, and Doc Holliday gunned down two Clantons and two other affiliates of the Clantons. On October 28, 1886, the Statue of Liberty was dedicated on Bedloe's Island in New York Harbor. The statue was a gift from the people of France commemorating the French-American alliance. On October 31, 1517, Martin Luther nailed his 95 Theses to the door of Wittenberg's Palace Church, denouncing the selling of papal indulgences. You've been listening to This Month in History, a monthly broadcast of historic events on WGXC 90.7 FM. If you have an event that you'd like to hear included in This Month in History, email me, Rob Gellis, at info@wgxc.org.
Hello?
Okay.
Alan,
hey,
I can talk to you. Yeah, I can talk to you through my phone.
Okay. How are you?
Okay, I'm sorry. The Zoom thing, I heard you, but you couldn't hear me, and I was trying to figure it out, you know?
Well, this is what happens sometimes with this high-tech stuff and this Zoom. It's a new thing for all of us. Anyway, here we are. So how have you been? And I chose to talk to you because I recall you interviewing me, and we had a good chat, you and me, together. And we certainly were on the same page about a lot of things, especially our knowledge and experience and love for music, particularly jazz music. And I know we had a nice chat. So when asked who would I like to have as my as my guest programmer, I said, hands down, it's got to be Rob. So, Rob, tell people a little bit about who you are and what program you do and when you're on and that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, I'm I live in Greenport, not, in Greenport. I've lived here. I'm